Good morning. I'd like to thank all of you for coming here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's going to be a little bit different this morning. I have some questions that I need to ask each and every one of you. One of them is, what do you think about sin? And when you think about sin, do you consider what sin is worse than the other? Have you ever heard the world kind of put it that way? That, oh, this sin is worse than that sin? Have you ever thought that perhaps murder is worse than taking the Lord's name in vain? It's not. In 1 John, in the third chapter of 1 John, in the fourth verse, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, the world says that a murderer is worse than someone who lies. That's the way the world looks at it. Or an adulterer is someone who is worse than someone who gets drunk every once in a while. It's not true. For each and every one of the sins that it is possible to commit, if you do them and you don't repent of that sin, and I mean put it behind you and don't do it again, ask God to forgive you of that sin that you committed and put it behind you, and go on throughout the rest of that day striving to be perfect. If you don't do this and you die before that day's over with, according to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're probably going to go to hell, no matter what it is that you did. Whether it was murder or lying, or taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, we're human, and we tend to categorize sin in different levels and say, well, this isn't as bad as that. And it's because we live here in this world. And there's someone who is given rule over this world, and he is a very wicked individual. And he has convinced most of the world that that's the way it is. Oh, this isn't so bad. Dig a pit for your neighbor. Tell a little white lie. It's going to be okay. It's not true. If you could get it into your head and into your heart that any sin is going to cause you to suffer eternally, for forever, and change the way you think about sin, and put this in you for the rest of your life, or at least for the rest of today, so that if you see something out there in the world that is sin, or you see someone committing sin out there in the world the rest of today, it would just shock you, and you would be sad for whoever it was that was committing the sin. Jim told me he was going to do this, and I wasn't supposed to stop. We need to look at it in that light. We need to feel that way about sin. There were men in both of these books that prayed for just that to be put in their heart, to shake at the sight or thought of sin. Any sin. You think, well, if I'm alone and there's no one around me and I hit my thumb with a hammer and I swear. Well, it's not that bad because nobody heard me. Yeah, I know God heard me, but it wasn't as bad as if there was someone around me. I didn't swear in front of everyone or someone. So you think, well, it's not so bad. Or I get mad when something goes wrong and there's no one around. Oh, it's not so bad. Or I'm all alone and no one's home and no one's going to be there until, 2 days from now. And I'm going to go ahead and get some drinking done and get drunk and enjoy myself. That's not so bad because I'm not going to hurt anyone. Not only are you hurting yourself, but you really are hurting the rest of us. Because you're perpetuating an attitude and carrying on this attitude that it's okay. It isn't. Because when you mingle with the rest of us, it's going to come through that, oh, it's all right. Oh, he's not so bad. Don't do that. It is so bad. If you're married, it's not just you. It's your spouse. If you have parents, it's not just you, it's your parents. If you have brothers and sisters, it's them. You can bring shame and bring down a whole family. You can bring down a whole church. You can bring down a whole nation. And that's what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to convince us that it's okay to commit sin. God says that if you disobey me, you've committed sin. He said, don't do this, don't do that. There's a whole list of things he said, don't do. Most of us know what those are and can understand them. Then there's a list of things he said to do. If you don't do those things, that's also a sin. He said he wants us to repent of our sins, put them behind us, and then he wants us to get baptized to show that we are willing to follow him throughout the rest of our lives or throughout the rest of today. Because it might be over this evening. You might be standing, or I might be standing in front of God tonight. It's really important that you get this in your heart. You don't have a lot of time. Uncle Nicholas has been here longer than any of us, and he can tell you it's a very short amount of time. It goes by really fast. And you think you're going to be okay and you think you got a chance tomorrow. You don't. You got maybe 15 minutes. And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to be perfect for the next 15 minutes. To just follow him today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He wants you to be worried about today. Can you do that? Can you just concentrate on today, on the next 15 minutes of just serving God and trying to figure out what it is he wants you to do? Ask him. it's really easy to ask. You don't have to have a mountain load of faith. All you have to do is ask God, what is it that you want me to do? And he'll tell you. He'll lead you to the scriptures. He'll prick your heart and say, I want you to follow me the rest of today. And if you make it through today, we'll worry about tomorrow. You don't have to have a lot of faith. It doesn't take a mountain of it. I have in between my thumb and my index finger right here the amount of faith you have to ask that of God. It's a mustard seed. You can't see it. Well, at least I don't think you can see it. I can barely see it. It's right in front of my face. That's all it takes. Now, I'm a pretty good sized guy. This is a very small thing. This is like maybe 1/1,000,000th of me. So it doesn't take a lot. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know everything it says in both of these books. All you have to do is ask. God, what do you want me to do? God, would you please forgive me for the sins that I have committed? And cleanse my soul and make me whole and perfect before you right now. And he'll do it. He's answered our prayers thousands of times in this group of people right here. We have testimony after testimony after testimony of the prayers that he has answered because we asked in faith, believing. We didn't have to have a mountain load of faith, just a little spot of it. And he said, yes, I'll give you what you ask. Because you ask for something that is right and good. You're not asking for a brand new shiny red Mustang convertible car. You're asking for things that are good. Things that I want you to have. There are two books that we use. One is the King James Version of the Bible, and one is the Book of Mormon. Jesus Christ spoke to us in both of these books. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer from the Bible. Starting at the 9th verse, and this is Jesus, and he's telling the people how to pray. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now I'm going to read you the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again. This time it's in the Book of Mormon. It's in the 3rd book of Nephi, the 5th chapter. This verse 101. And this is Jesus. He's talking to the people that are over here in this land after he's been crucified and resurrected. And he's telling them how to pray. And he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do you notice the difference between those two? In the Bible, he says, thy kingdom come. He says, give us this day our daily bread. In the Book of Mormon, he left those out. Do you know why? In the Bible, he was still flesh and blood human. He had not been crucified yet. The kingdom that he was talking about, thy kingdom come, was his kingdom, his church being established here in the world. Satan being kicked out of heaven once and for all and banished to the earth, never to return. The bread that he's talking about. In the Bible, right after this, he's telling us in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He says in the 25th verse. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Well, wait a minute. Just a little while ago in that same chapter, he said, give us this day our daily bread. And then right here he's telling us, don't worry about what you're going to eat. What's he talking about in that prayer? It's not supper or lunch or breakfast or a snack. It's not regular bread. It's him. He's the bread of life. Those men that he was in front of, that were there with him, that were asking him how to pray, he's telling them, give us this day our daily bread. I am your daily bread. I am Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And at one point, you will partake of my flesh. Well, over here in the Book of Mormon, after he'd been crucified, you get to actually partake of that supper, and it's with you forever. That's why it's different. That's why the Lord's Prayer is different from the Book of Mormon to the Bible. It's just another small proof that it's true because of the way he said the prayer. He was already crucified and resurrected. So sin is the transgression of the law. We have the law in both of these books. So we know what not to do. We know what we're supposed to do. Are you ready to do it? Do you think you can be perfect for the rest of your life? I don't think I can do that. But I am going to be trying my best to be perfect for the rest of today. If I stumble and fall, I'm going to ask him to please forgive me. Because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to hurt him. I know that I am weak, that I am human, and that I can fall. But I also know that he'll forgive me if I ask him to. And I ask him sincerely, and I really mean it. And I put that sin behind me, and I go on. And I walk through this life as he did, following his examples. If you haven't been baptized, it's not that hard. All you have to do is repent of your sins and then go and ask someone who has authority given to them by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to baptize you. Explain to them that you understand what baptism is, that you've studied it. If you haven't and you want to get baptized, ask them to help you study it. Explain it to you. And then get it done. Because if you don't do that, no matter how good you are the rest of your life, if you don't do that, you still won't make it. If you're old enough to understand what I'm saying, that you have to stop sinning, you have to repent, say you're sorry, you need to be baptized, and then you're going to follow Jesus Christ throughout the rest of this day, then you need to get baptized. It's time. If you want to be able to follow him all the way into the kingdom of heaven, you've got to do this first. There is a multitude of different ways that you can sin. It can get really complex. And they had in the Old Testament, they had laws that covered almost everything. If you lost someone's axe head, they had a thing that you could do to take care of that sin. It was crazy because they were really picky. They tried every which way they could to get around sin. You can't. You cannot get around it. There's no excuse. I don't care what it is. He does want us to be perfect. He was perfect. He wants us to be perfect and follow him throughout the rest of our day. That's how simple it can be. And he promises us that if we don't, we're going to get punished. So stop thinking of sin as the way Satan is teaching it, that there's different degrees of sin and some sins aren't as bad as others. And stop looking at people as, oh, you're an adulterer or you're a murderer. No, you're a sinner. Please don't sin. You're killing the rest of us and you're killing yourself. Ask him, don't you understand what you've done? Don't you get it? You're going to die for eternity. And you're going to drag a lot of people down with you because of the examples that you're giving the rest of us. So stop it, please. Help the rest of us to be good. And start thinking of it that way. Don't think of it in the way that Satan has put it forth. Because he's lying. If you sin, you're going to die. If you don't repent of your sins and be baptized and follow Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. You will die for eternity. Thank you.